The Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for everyone who stopped by our booth. We're in booth number one, just as you come right into the conference area. And in advance, my apologies if you've heard some of these stories before, but they're just part of how it helps me think through what this program does for us, and then also is a way in to talk to you guys about ways that we can support your family as well. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, thank you for this opportunity to share my family's experience, to share my expertise, but then also to encourage people with the hope that is both in you and in your creation. I pray that the things that I share won't be a barrier to anyone, that if it's something that just isn't fitting, that we can set it aside, that my words will be clear, and hopefully that we can recognize that what's before us maybe is here to help someone else. So thank you, Father, for blessing us, for bringing us here safely, for making sure that fire alarm got resolved quickly. And bless our time together. Amen. So this is CK2 Inc. This is me. I was a parent of two kids with additional learning needs, and we just knew school wasn't going to work for us. I'm an advocate by heart, so I do things. I'm very action-oriented. So in 2012, I was able to establish the Winnipeg South Homeschool Collective, which is essentially started as a choir. I had a son who had a beautiful singing voice, and I was like, surely we could find a choir director that could join us and that I could accompany. And that was the birth of the Winnipeg South Homeschool Collective. That's something that I still do. So if you're in the Winnipeg or area, you're welcome to join us at any time. We have, and I see some familiar faces who are there now, but welcome to join us anytime. We kind of offer one-off classes. But the vision was that everyone is welcome. So again, people with additional learning needs need community, need a consistent place. And that's what the Homeschool Collective was for us. Oh, I'm a little nervous that this is not moving ahead without me. And then the other piece of what I do is I help people thrive in learning, performance, and recovery. And that's that Aerosmith program piece, where if you have a learning difficulty, or maybe you have some performance goals, either as an athlete or a business person or as an adult wanting to have more clear thinking to clear that brain fog, maybe you're in the recovery zone of recovering from a stroke or a brain injury. All of those pieces can be addressed through cognitive work. And the reason that I do this is my why right here. My guy was told he wouldn't achieve beyond grade 6 when he was about 8 years old. We did a psychological assessment and just had a really bleak picture painted for us. And we're like, nope, that is absolutely not the future that we see. And had the great opportunity to both use the Aerosmith program, but also had a number of other ways in that could support his learning needs. And this is last season. He's entering season 5 with the Bisons. He's a 5th year full scholarship student athlete at the U of M. And again, just a completely different future than the one that we saw, or that was presented to us years ago. The heart of what I do, and as I said, I'm a very action-oriented person, but is this concept that cognitive function isn't fixed. And our education model doesn't play this out itself. We say, oh, you can't write, let's use a scribe. Oh, you can't read, let's play the book on tape. We're going to put someone beside you and be your external brain. And the beautiful piece, and what we know through neuroplasticity, is that cognitive function actually isn't fixed, and you have that ability to experience change throughout your life. So in the work that I do now, We have students as young as 6 and as old as, we say, 6 to 86. I think our current eldest student is 75 this year. Again, someone wanting to change their brain for the better. So when you're thinking of your cognitive classroom, when you're thinking of how you structure a learning environment, you want to keep in mind these conditions for neuroplastic change. So in order to experience change, there needs to be some effort involved. So there has to be challenge with it. You need to do it over an active and sustained amount of time in an engaged way. And there also needs to be elements of novelty. So just little subtle shifts and complexity that keep the brain engaged with the task that you're in. So whether you're using a brain training exercise like we do in the Aerosmith classroom, or if you're working in a more traditional curricular setting, keep these elements in mind as to how you can best support learning. We also, through engagement, want to work through the process of accuracy, consistency, and automaticity. So if you're thinking math facts, you want to get them right first, and then you want to get them right often, and then you also want to be able to do it automatically. Again, that's what you're aiming for in order to achieve neuroplastic change. So with that, what I'm wanting to do today is talk about the environment around learning. So both the external environment, which you might be most familiar with, you know what your learners need in your household in order for success. Maybe you're not in a stimulating environment. Maybe you've taken away all that. There aren't any toys in the schoolroom. Maybe you've figured out what time of day works best for them. So there are external elements, but also internal ones. And I'd like to be able to point you to some of those today. And that's my intention today, is to point to a bunch of resources to spark investigation. As a parent, I was just speaking with Donna earlier. I came to my first homeschooling conference 18 years ago, and there's a lot that's changed in that amount of time. And I would have loved to have someone say, hey, look at all of these different options, different ways in to help people who don't learn typically. So again, sparking investigation, and then also connecting you with experts. I have a number of degrees that were shared with you. I have experience as a parent of 2 kids with additional needs. I have that Aerosmith program piece, but I'm certainly not an expert in all of these things, but I want to point you to them so that you can get expertise from people who do know. So 2 really key things I would suggest as you're trying to solve the puzzle of what's going to work for the person in your life that made you sit in this chair today. This is a book by Norman Doidge, and he looks at a whole bunch of different interventions that people have used over time and their effectiveness. In, I think it's chapter 2 or maybe it's chapter 3, he talks about Barbara Aerosmith Young, who's the founder of the Aerosmith program. That's an excellent way to kind of give you an introduction to a variety of different kinds of intervention. He talks about light and sound therapy, talks about vision therapy. He looks at things like diet and supplementation, as well as detoxification strategies. There are also mindfulness elements to consider. And then in this room here, that faith piece. How can faith figure into how we support our learners? So point to an expert. Norman Doidge is a good start. Finding an excellent occupational therapist. They often have kind of an inroad into a few different practices and knowing actually what's available where you are or what you can access elsewhere. Those are really good places to hit. A naturopath, a sleep specialist, a vision therapist, they can all be guides for you. So I'm going to kind of work through some of those internal environmental pieces that can help with learning success. So Donna, would you mind going to our table and grabbing, I have a contact form. It's on a clipboard and it has a pen with it. Leave a page for the table, but bring the rest here. I can't believe I forgot that. I have a list of resources I want to send to you. So certainly take notes if you like. But I have a list of resources and links that I'll send to you. And if you're interested, just pop your name and your email on the clipboard that's coming around and I will forward them to you next week. So in general, when you're approaching learning, it's been helpful for me to think like an athlete, where we're creating, or a high performer, where we're creating an environment for success, where we're removing or reducing external and internal distractions, and you're getting yourself physiologically set up for that learning that's going to take place. So here's one thing that if you leave with this is worth the sitting in the chair. I also have an activity that we'll all do together in a couple minutes. If you leave with those two things, worthwhile. This is your physiological success formula. Before you do any kind of learning task, get into that zone 2 heart rate. You can Google it. It's 80% of your maximum, whatever the maximum is for the person that you're working with. And you want to do that for 25 minutes. Then you're going to do your academic learning task and follow it up with 10 minutes of mindfulness. And mindfulness can be as simple as staring out the window and looking at the trees, the leaves on trees, looking at water, I think is apparently a really helpful thing to do. So if you have access to some water out of doors, do that. You can do progressive relaxation. But what those two activities do is increase your BDNF production. And BDNF, I'm going to scroll down to make sure I get this right, is your brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And that is actually the protein that's important for brain development. It's for maturation and assembly. So BDNF is also involved in neuronal survival and growth, and it helps regulate neurotransmitters. So when you're thinking about this high performance option, and you have a kid who's not able to engage easily on their own, set them up for that success. Get some movement in. Get on that trampoline, go for a walk, go for a run. There was a mom when we started out, she had a bunch of teenage girls, and no matter how late things had gone the night before, by 8:15, they'd all kick out the door and go for a 15-minute walk before they started their school day. Huge, huge benefits to that. So whenever you're thinking about asking for an important learning task, prime yourself. Activity first, physical activity first, then the task, and then follow it up because you want your brain to incorporate the changes that have just taken place. And that's what that mindfulness piece does. There's a researcher out of Toronto that is using that formula specifically with people with concussions. And they're just having some really excellent results with that. So I'm just going to kind of walk us through a whole bunch of different ways to get that system, that body system of that little person, or maybe yourself, in line so that you're most set up for learning. And when learning can only be for a short amount of time, whether for attention or ability or capability, you just need to be strategic. And it is so empowering to know that you can use just even little strategies. And that's always my concern, is I offer a program that's expensive. It is life-changing, but it's also expensive. These strategies are as simple as getting sunlight on your face. So don't be discouraged that if the expensive program is not the thing that's going to work in your life right now, there are still many other things that you can do to the benefit of your learner. The first thing I'll do is I'll point you to Andrew Huberman. That's the hubermanlab.com. He's a Stanford neuroscientist He has a podcast called Huberman Lab, and he interviews people from all sorts of different backgrounds. Very specifically, he's done a lot on sunlight and morning sunlight. And basically, you want to get 10 minutes of sunlight in your eyes. So you have to be outside for this, in your eyes, ideally before 10 a.m. and within, say, 90 minutes of waking up. Because that's going to reset your circadian rhythm, and that sets you up for optimal sleep. And sleep is going to be the ticket to the best engagement that you can get out of your learner, making sure that sleep is occurring appropriately. So Huberman Lab, you can jump in. He has everything. And now I'm going to forget the word. Time stamped. So that you can search along each of the different podcasts that he's done. So if there's an area that you need to know more about or an area you're struggling with, you can look it up and see what the experts are saying in that field. So morning sunlight, another really huge piece, and this actually has become big for me recently, is breathing, and especially breathing at night. You want to be nasal breathing at night. And this may seem radical, if you follow your sleep story, this is someone local. She does coaching around sleep. She's more for older kids and adults, but she shares lots of resources regarding sleep. I think on the information sheet I'll share with you, there's a dentist in New York that talks about taping your mouth as well as nasal dilators in order to encourage better oxygenation at night. So for some people, if you have a child who's maybe struggling with a lot of cavities, a lot of tiredness, maybe anxiety in the mornings, if you're having headaches in the mornings, that's another common outcome. Take a look at sleep. See what's going to happen with that. I think there is an OT locally that does some work with that. I'll have to circle back and figure out who that is, but just be aware that by addressing some of those issues where an outcome of having poor sleep could be ADHD-like symptoms, if you're able to fix that sleep piece, you're going to notice some different learning and different behavioral parts in your person's life. Hydration and nutrition, these are always key pieces. When I list the things that were most effective in my household for our people, one is neurofeedback. We'll talk about that in a little bit. The second most effective thing was diet. And that's such a hard one to hear. But literally, that can of Coke that you had a week ago is going to still influence how your learner is able to function today. So as hard as that is, make sure that you're not ignoring the effects of what nutrition and poor nutrition can have on health. And especially for our kids who are have more complexities, even just little shifts are going to affect their outcomes during the day. So fuel the right way. Find that nutrient balance. Look at targeted eating. There's lots of information about the gut-brain connection now. I'm sure there are people who can share experiences that they've had with you that could benefit your people in that way. Vitamin-mineral ratios are really key. Some people, when they've done hair analysis, for example, they find high levels of metals in your system. And when you have high levels of heavy metals, it's going to result in things that look like learning difficulties. There was in a book I read when we were kind of in this stage of really focusing on diet, there were some miners, I think in South America, that were trapped in a mine for quite a long time. And when they came out, they had very high levels of manganese. And what that meant for them was that they had symptoms that looked like ADHD. But once they were able to address that level of manganese in their system, then they were able to return to kind of the behavioral outcomes that you would normally expect. So again, seek out those experts who are able to kind of provide guidance, either whether it's metal detox or diet-focused nutrition elements, supplementation. So this hydration and nutrition, literally, if you have your kid, so if you exercise, drink a full glass of water, do your academic test, and do mindfulness, you're already miles ahead of them just rolling out of the playroom and bopping themselves down at the table. If you keep those things in mind, you're going to see some change for your learner. Okay, let's keep going. Reducing toxic load. I think we need to get up at this point. So this is number two, the thing that I want you to remember. I'm going to try to remember we're being recorded, so I'm going to describe this enough. But with a choral background, please rise where you are. The kind of garbage delivery system in our body is our lymphatic system, and it doesn't have a pump, unfortunately. So it's our movement or what we do to our body that's going to make this work. So this is called the Big Six. I have a link to it. You don't have to remember it, but let's do it together. So collarbone, you're going to use your Star Trek fingers, top and bottom. If I've got a microphone here, so I'm just doing one at a time. But top and bottom of your collarbone, just give it 10 rubs. Do both hands at the same time. So this is the first area that kind of opens up your lymphatic system. I think 30% of your lymph nodes are from your neck up, so really important to get it. So you're going to do a 10 rub and then do 10 pats, same place, just right over your collarbone. Give it a little rub. And then what we're going to do, using those same two fingers, behind and in front of your ear, you can do both sides at the same time. So the front of your ear stimulates your trigeminal nerve, which is what runs around your head. But then you've also got some really clear lymph nodes in behind your ear. Same thing. Just give her a little 10 and then just a really light tap. So none of this should hurt. It's just getting things moving. I had a student who dirt biked and he's like, this is like the air filter of our body. So here we go. Now we're going to do kind of your shoulder. The front of your shoulder, give it a rub. And if you want to get extra fancy when you're ready for a tap, so make sure you do both sides, to tap like a monkey under your armpit. Give it a good 10 taps there. Good stuff. So glad to have a mixed crowd of ages. Next is your belly. So it's like you're giving yourself a big belly rub. So maybe one hand on top, one hand lower body, and then switch your hands around and then do the Santa jiggle. Jiggle your belly a little bit. Good. You get a 10. And then the next one is inguinal, I think. So where your legs meet your body, just along that area, just give it a rub. Give yourself 10 and then a little tap. And then back of the knee is our last guy. I'm going to be uneven here, just doing one-handed. So back of your knee, give it a rub and then a tap. So those are six locations all together. And then you just want to end right back where we started. So last little 10 up here. So essentially, that's flushing the toilet of your brain. When there is a toxic load on your brain, that's going to make all of those extra pieces hard. So this is just an easy body break you can do in the middle of your day. Just get things moving. So thank you so much. Hopefully we're awake now. We're getting close to dinner hour. So lymphatics, that's called the Big Six. I will send you a link to that if you get your name on that paper that's coming around. There are a whole bunch of ways of dealing with toxins in your life. Oh, good. The noon rule's on here. Some people dry brush. You can use a sauna. There's red light therapy, vibration plates, all of those. Grounding is another option. In general, pay attention to clean eating. So if you have someone who's struggling with learning, there are very likely some toxic kind of elements here, and you need to be really careful about the things in their life. So that could even be from plastic to hormones in the system. This is social media, but drinking bottled water, people had like a credit card size amount of microplastic in their system after a week. That is just shocking to me. Social media, someone needs to fact check. But just in general, be aware that things in our environment do affect us, and especially people who are more sensitive, you're going to, those effects are going to look stronger for them. A naturopath can help with toxic pieces, osteopathy, another place that you can look to. This one, gold right here. This is from a pediatric specialist when we were doing a neuroeducation program. Poop before noon. Again, back to that toxic load on your brain. That's what you want to do. Make sure that you've got those extras out of your system before noon. I had a child who struggled in this area. And so we're like, okay, stickers for whoever poops before noon. And like warms my heart when my 14-year-old is showing off his sticker. So his little sister knows that that's something that she can take some extra time to. So again, and we see that in our cognitive classroom as things start to spin or someone's having some behavioral issues. And then they take a break and go to the bathroom and come back, and they're just much more settled, just as an anecdotal kind of piece there. Again, free thing to do, but can also have a big impact on what's happening during the day. In general, a parasympathetic state is what you want for learning. So the sympathetic state is your fight or flight response. And if you're cognitively going to the wrong place in your brain for the information that you need, you're going to get stuck in that fight or flight response. So if you can move your body into a parasympathetic state, so mindfulness could be an option, even just like we did, got up and did a little lymphatic activity, that's going to shift things so that you're more able to make change. So this is build and grow. Parasympathetic is the building and growing phase. Things like breathing exercises, neurofeedback, you may have heard about that before. It's offered, I think, at the ADHD Center, I think that's what it's called in Winnipeg, as well as at Prairie Health and Wellness. Very interesting system. So this, for our family, this was number 3 in the effectiveness category. Number 3 is neurofeedback, and number 2 was the kind of diet and toxic piece. But neurofeedback measures the activity of brain wavelengths. And so if your brain is using the wrong wavelength for the wrong activity, you're going to end up with behavioral issues. So for example, thinking of my son, he had an ADHD diagnosis. And when we looked at the EEG through neurofeedback, we could see on his scan that he had hot spots where his brain was just spinning. He wasn't able to get to where he needed. When he was supposed to be in a relaxation state, he was using the wrong wavelength for that. So it's a little mysterious to me. But they have equipment that helps teach your brain to use the right wavelength for the right task. And it's reinforced by something that the brain is interested in. So if you can get your brain in that right wavelength, the movie that you want to watch is playing on the screen. And again, with those concepts of neuroplasticity, if you can train your brain to go to the right place at the right time, then you're going to make those permanent shifts for yourself. So again, neurofeedback, another more expensive option, but can be very effective, especially for anxiety and depression. I know people have had some good results with that. I don't think I have this on my list, but if you're interested further, there's a book called Symphony in the Brain. that's a journalist who's written about neurofeedback practices. It's a bit of an older book, but it was still available on Amazon if you're interested in checking that out some more. Things like sound, using white, brown, and pink noise for very different tasks that can move you into a parasympathetic state. Alpha waves, again, the brain always wants to match things. So if you're listening to music with certain hertz, your brain will match it, and you can choose, like if you have Spotify, check on Spotify for alpha waves, and that's a relaxation frequency that your brain will match. Or there are also ones for creativity and engagement that you can use those tools in a way that is helpful for your learner. I do too want to say, as we take a little look at the time here, I want to make sure to leave time for questions. Don't be nervous about the mic, but because it's being recorded, it would be helpful if we can hear your question on the recording too. So keep that in mind. I've left some time for questions here at the end. The other, another really good one, if you're wanting to have a specific mindfulness activity, again, so it was that 25 minutes of aerobic activity, your learning, and then a mindfulness activity, non-sleep deep rest, like a progressive relaxation, it can be really effective. I have that, again, on my information sheet. It's actually Dr. Huberman who just talks you through relaxing your feet and your ankles and your calves and your knees and all the way up your body. But again, the result of doing that is that you increase that BDNF production so that you have those building blocks to make those new connections that you've been doing through learning. All right. And then on the sensory side of things, so your formula for functional success, things like vision therapy, Erlen syndrome, there's often a correlation between dyslexia and difficulties that are called Erlen syndrome. That's something to check into. In general, my approach has been to not use sensory input to satiate need. That was a struggle I had through the OT work that we did, that it was the fidget toy was trying to satiate a need as opposed to train a new neural pathway. So as you're considering the different modalities that might be what your person needs, keep in mind you want sensory input to achieve change. So what is the goal of the activity and what do you want the long-term change to be? For example, when this is in my daughter's case, she had difficulty with pronunciation and just had a very small vocabulary to start with. That is absolutely not the case now. But on her neuroed program, she would do various tongue exercises. We would have chew tubes, and you would chew the different texture of a tube a certain number of times. Again, we weren't trying to satiate her need. We were trying to build that pathway, strengthen that area. She would be assigned to chew big gum for 10 minutes a day. And this is the kid who would pocket food, not just in her cheeks, but like in front of her lips. And so she needed to build that strength in her mouth to be able to speak more clearly. It could be doing things like using poetry so that there would be more exposure to language so that they would have greater vocabulary at their fingertips if they're not coming up with it themselves. Another a great sensory one and equally free is a bear hug. This came onto our neuroed list all the time. We had to tally it up. We needed 12 bear hugs a day. It helps with sensory integration. It's kind of that gross motor piece that can pull things together when you're needing to engage with some academic work. Let's see, movement. The word vestibular refers to the brain stem balance centers and inner ear balance systems. To achieve good physical balance, we rely on our brain, eyes, inner ear, and muscular system to work in harmony. According to Z Health, and this is the this is on my link sheet, a huge resource, great YouTube channel with all sorts of free things there. They find that any vestibular issues will see them as learning issues. So if you are having trouble with your brain, your eyes, your inner ear, your muscular system, those are going to start looking like a learning difficulty. So what if you would think about targeting those issues and then see what happens to the learning piece as well? Another really important thing to consider in this are primitive reflexes. We're all born, I think, with 13 different primitive reflexes. And if some of those reflexes either don't incorporate or become unincorporated, those too look like learning difficulties. I think I have this book on the list. It's called Symphony of Reflexes. And it actually has a series of activities that you can do to help incorporate these different reflexes. Having an OT that's overseeing this and developing an individualized program is wonderful if you have that opportunity. But this Symphony of Reflexes book, Bonnie Brandis wrote it, gives you a really practical way to address those pieces and then hopefully as a result see some changes in learning from them. All right, we're getting close to the end here. So that mental and emotional health piece, it is of course key to that, to learning. We always talk with our students about living in the green and gold. So we ask them to do these incredibly hard activities, but you need to balance it with stuff they love. So the green is getting outside, getting fresh air, that beautiful sunshine in the morning and at the end of the day. That too is a really good circadian rhythm reset. Do those things in the green, but also find what lights them up. And that's what that gold is. So for my guy, it was playing football. For my daughter, it was it's art or dance. Find the thing that lights them up, that's the motivator to do the hard stuff so that they can go and shine later. There are studies that show that gratitude also rewires the brain, takes some time to be thankful. On the mental health piece, James Clear wrote a book called Atomic Habits. He also has an app. I haven't had a chance to check that out. He was someone who suffered a concussion, a severe concussion. I think he was hit with a baseball bat as a university player. And he had to relearn how to walk and relearn how to do life. And he had to do it one small step at a time, thus the atomic habits. And being able to make those small shifts every day to make that small progress, just show up and achieve the change just by showing up every day. He says by the end of the year, you're going to be 37% farther along than someone who doesn't show up. We've had a number of students who've been sick in the last couple of weeks, and we're starting to feel discouraged that they weren't hitting their goals during these days that they were sick. But even that they weren't performing at their highest ability in those exercises, they were still seeing cognitive gain because they showed up and did the work. And the next time when they are at their peak, they are going to be able to achieve those goals again and hopefully master, that's a very Aerosmith word, master their activity to move on to something next. So I'd encourage you an easy listen, a book on tape, his Atomic Habits. One of the recommendations I really like, he talks about habit stacking. So if there's something that you do every day, so for example, brushing your teeth, is there something that could you could pair with it that could become a strong habit for you? Maybe it's filling up your water bottle. I have a girlfriend who says, well, I've been squatting while I brush my teeth because I want my legs to be stronger. So I don't know how she does it. Maybe I brush my teeth too long. But putting those things together, is there a way that you can do that with your learner that can move them forward as well? On the parental side of things, and I also feel like I got a lot of really neat short activities from Dr. Carolyn Leaf, again, has lots of resources online, but she also has an app called the NeuroCycle app, and it helps you kind of uncover thoughts that aren't serving you anymore. But she also uses that, uses breathing to help reset your system. It's just a very bite-sized, it's supposed to be about 10 to 15 minutes a day that you can do to care for yourself as you're caring for these kids that might have some extra needs. But I felt as I went through her program, I think it's 63 days as a cycle. I came away with lots of little breathing activities, lots of things that help move us into a parasympathetic state again to prepare for learning. I will give you just a really short picture on the Aerosmith program here, as well as tell you the follow-up to this is I have a webinar that I'll do on April 8th. It's about half an hour, and again, open for questions afterwards. But it's online. Again, if your email gets on that list, or you probably have a brochure in your bag, there's a QR code on the back that'll get you to the Zoom link for it. But this is the work I do, and this is the number one most effective piece for my family. Completely changed the trajectory of my two kids' lives, and we see it. We've helped more than 50 families across Canada and into the States. The Aerosmith program has helped tens of thousands of people worldwide. It's often in a school setting. Sometimes a psychologist might use it, or like us, we're an independent learning center. But like I said, I'm all about action, and this program gets results. So what this graph shows us is learning acceleration over time. So 1 year, 60 students in the program, the typical Aerosmith student was falling behind their peers by half a year at a time. Half a year at a time. Just with 1 year of intervention, just using one cognitive activity, that's how we think of our program. Each cognitive activity requires 200 minutes a week. So thinking about those that neuroplastic change element, you have to do it with novelty and complexity over a certain amount of time, with consistency in order to receive these results. These students not only exceeded what was expected, so 1 year of growth would be expected, some of them were close to doubling what a typical peer situation would be after just 1 year of cognitive intervention. So, so important. And absolutely why I do what I do. And then what I wanted to show you was an example of a student profile. So what, as I said, we think in terms of cognitive areas. So we look at 19 different functions, and we find what your ability is in each of those areas. We use a 12-point scale. That's what you see along the top. Goes from very severe to average and above average. Down the left, there are a bit of nicknames, but they're nicknames for the different cognitive functions in a student's life. So thinking of this student, I wanted to look at kind of the executive function piece. And if I've talked to you, a few of you about it already, this is our executive function piece. So at the start of her work, 1, 2, 3, so she worked with us 4 years. She was very severe in this function. So that was managing herself. It was being able to take care of her body, take care of her emotions, not even being able to have meaningful friendships where they could have some give and take. It meant logic and reasoning was really hard for her to have some perspective on how the world works. Processing speed was not happening. And she used that program, the one that was from that, the same as the kids that saw the rate of learning change. She saw an incredible shift over 2 years, so much so that she reached mild in her cognitive function in that area. The beautiful part of that work is that it also had related gains in other areas. So wherever you see these hash marks over here, those are areas that she didn't have to work on, but because she targeted more higher order cognitive functions, when we reassessed at the end of the year, she saw all of these changes. So this is a child who has a completely different life, just like my son did. This person went from being incredibly cautious and not being able to have meaningful friendships. She was always by mom's side. So many things weren't working for her in terms of writing and remembering things. And all of those things with the hash marks saw some great shifts for her. She's now in high school and just living her best life. Like, this isn't necessarily a typical student because she had so many areas that were low, but what it does show that anyone has that ability to change their brain, and knowing that you can do that at any time of life is really, really important. Spiritual health. So I wanted to just make sure that I mentioned this as well, that speaking the word over your family is transformative, that worship is transformative, and even science is showing that even the action of humming and singing has an effect on those brain wavelengths as you're working. So, like, use these things as a tool. There's nothing like getting into a car when everyone's buckled into their seatbelts and turning up the music really loud. You've got this captive audience and gives you a bit of a break too. But there's also other pieces that are beneficial too. And in general, and which is why I'm still committed to the Winnipeg South Homeschool Collective, is that community and mutual encouragement is just huge. Make sure you're not doing this alone. Find your people, be with your people, share with your people, and ask them for directions. I needed someone to share some of the things that I've shared with you today when we were trying to work our way through what did our family need, what needed to take place for change. So yeah, I just really encourage you to be in community and rely on your community. Okay, two last things. I love what I do. It's the most amazing work in the world. We need someone to come alongside of us. So you guys are my community. If you happen to know someone who wants very part-time but very important work, we may be looking for someone this fall or into early next year. So keep us in mind. I'd love to be able to share more about that. So that was one. And then I wanted to leave you. I'll leave this to the end. I have a blessing for you, but I'll leave that to the end. We have a few minutes. Can I answer some questions? And are you brave? Can you run up so it can get recorded over here? And I'll invite, if others want to come ask. I will do my best.
Is there something about where the sun is in the sky? What is it? I'm just asking because it's far enough for the sun, there even is there a
That's really interesting. I would point you to Andrew Huberman, Google on his podcast what he says. Like, I think the goal is that it's a certain wavelength that helps you reset. So depending on how far the sun is away or whatever is what, that's what you want in your eyes. That's why blue light is an issue late at night, because late at night, as the sun is going down, then you're getting more of the reds and oranges. Again, not my area of expertise, but there's more blue light during the day. So you're basically confusing your system if you have too many bright lights on or are staring into a screen that's only emitting blue light. So I think it's that idea of using a certain wavelength of light first thing in the day. And you could even use, is it called Aura? I can't remember what it's called. Different daylights. Have you heard of those for seasonal affective disorder? That have different wavelengths that you can kind of program to support. I think I just read that If you get up and the sun isn't up yet, which may be the case for part of the year for you, is to turn on as many lights as you can, get that really bright light in your eyes, and then get outside when the sun does come up. That was the advice I received. But yeah, super interesting. Thanks. Anyone else? Is there anything else I can answer or point you somewhere? Whoop. Yeah, good question. My family's approach didn't use medication. And what was really interesting in my son's case was at that 8-year-old assessment, we were told he had ADHD. We then had the opportunity to do some neuroed programming. We then did neurofeedback, and then the Aerosmith program came to Winnipeg. My understanding of what neurofeedback achieved was it kind of slowed things down in his brain. It helped him it calmed things down so that he was then ready. And for him, he needed a fair amount of academic intervention as well. So then his brain was calm so that he could do the exercises that were part of the Aerosmith program. And the exercises are tied to those different areas of cognitive function. And so we had an independent psychological assessment when he was 8, and then we did another assessment after those 3 parts and the diet piece in there. In grade 9, reassessed, he would no longer had ADHD on his diagnostic roster. So did he have ADHD, or more, did he have a cognitive area that wasn't serving him well? He would have been very much like the other student that I showed you there that had a whole bunch of areas that she needed to work on. Some of our typical kiddos, let's see if I can get you, maybe we'll only have one or two. Okay, technology cooperated for this long. But like this student, she was out of the 19 areas, there were only 5 that were an issue for her. So then behaviorally, she was much more together than my kid was. But once we addressed the other pieces that weren't working for him, it actually may not have been that behavioral piece. It was a cognitive piece. So like, it really is individual. My bent is more, I didn't want to introduce more medication into his life. And I was willing to tolerate the difficult pieces in order to see where that took us. But some people need medication to get that stable place. Maybe that's what's going to get it to you. 50 families, that's like a good number of people that we've helped so far. But in talking to the Aerosmith program in Toronto that helps thousands and thousands of kids, they say many of their students are able to set medication aside after they've experienced the cognitive change. So yeah, very individual, and really, like, you have to, keep advocating, right? Like find the people that are going to hit on the right thing. What's the thing that's going to move? If you talk to Lonnie Van Royen, she runs our online classroom, and that's our story. I do this work because I had two kids that really needed it. Same for her. They actually moved their family across the country. So because at the time you had to be where a site was in order to do the Aerosmith program. And now she's just this fantastic teacher. For her daughter, it was Erlen syndrome. That was kind of the ticket that really helped with that piece. And she made some really great changes with the Aerosmith program too. But you have to, like, you're a detective. You have to figure it out. I said this to a few of you today too. When we do that assessment process, it's like I'm telling secrets. Like I can unpack why this kid is struggling in this area. This is why they're not taking initiative. This is what they can't remember. We had an adult student, early 20s, just wasn't thriving, kind of seasonally affective disorder, spending too much time gaming in the basement, couldn't hold a job. He was told he didn't have a servant heart. Like, how hard is that to hear? But when he showed me his phone, on his phone, he had reminders every 15 minutes because he couldn't keep that entire story of his day in his head. So can you imagine what that feels like when you're always forgetting who's coming for dinner, what time you're supposed to be home? Like, what does that do psychologically for you? How do you keep a job like that? And he was able to work with us. He didn't stay long enough, and the program's optional. We all function not at average in lots of areas in our life. But he like really gave it his all for about 5 or 6 months. And during that time, he got a job, not only a job, but he became a manager. He was with a tent, an event company where he was setting up tents and during the summer season for rentals or whatever. So like lots of moving pieces and parts and people to manage. And this is the kid who like could only sit in his basement and play video games. So not only did he do that, but his big goal was he wanted to go to Cape and Ray in New Zealand. And not he did it. He moved across the world. He did a 30-week program far from his family. And this was someone failure to launch for a long time. But because he was able to target the cognitive pieces that fit for him, made all the difference. Yeah. All right, we're close to time. Anyone else? Okay. All right. And yeah, so if you're listening to this, CK2INC.com. You can get a hold of us there. We have a webinar coming up on April 8th. So I'll get that Zoom link in your hands. I'll talk very specifically about the program at that time and what that could look like. Back to what neuroplasticity is, it is a permanent change. So you, and I'll maybe leave it right here. You don't need to continue the program forever. It's a transitional piece. We help you make those changes through cognitive exercise, and then you have that facility in your everyday life, so you don't need to continue the program, which is amazing. When my son was in the program, one of his classmates, his neighbor was like, "Hey, Aerosmith, I did that 30 years ago in Toronto after he had a car accident." And he was like, I kind of want to know how I'm doing. And so he came back and he did an assessment again, and his results held. And he was, I think, in his 60s at that time. Changes are permanent there, and they're yours for life, which is really exciting. All right. QR code up on the screen will get you to our contact page if you want to connect that way about specific things. I am at booth number one for the rest of today and then tomorrow, so please do stop by. And let's see, I wanted to leave you with a blessing here. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. And now this part, this is what we were talking about. May your whole spirit, so here's our spiritual health, your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and then your body, that's all the physiological things we've been talking about, whole spirit, soul, and body, be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord. I love that God has that design for us and gives us that opportunity to change as we grow and have new experiences. Thanks so much for your time today, everyone.
Once again, the Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording. Please visit them at learninghouse.ca.